KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
8th and 9th. Registration required. More at aw.org.
51 degrees, mostly cloudy in Seattle. Chance of rain through the rest of the day. Clouds, breezy, temperatures right around 51. It's 1220. We'll get some wilderness survival tips at 1240.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The Affordable Care Act, known by critics and the president alike as Obamacare, was signed into law by the president in March of 2010. And each year on January 1st, different requirements within the bill take effect. When what requirements were set in motion January 1st of this year and what changes will be rolling out over the course of this year? State Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler is here to tell you what to expect here in Washington State. Mike Kreidler just got reelected to the job of State Insurance Commissioner. Previously, he was a congressman and a state lawmaker. He's also worked as an optometrist for 20 years at Group Health Cooperative. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Russ.
We're at 206-543-5869. Maybe you've heard about Obamacare and health care reform, but you're not really sure about what it means. No question is too simple. Give us a call and ask. It's 206-543-KUOW. If you're outside the Seattle area, you might be without insurance, wondering how this is going to affect you. It's 800-289-5869. Or maybe you do have insurance and you wonder what this is going to mean for you. You can write to us, conversation at kuow.org. Let's talk about this year because it's rolling out between now and 2014. And what are people going to notice coming into effect in 2013, Mike Kreidler?
Well, the first thing they're going to probably be exposed to where it's really going to start to become common part of conversation will be starting October 1st of 2013, because that's when you're going to start to see marketing both by the Health Insurance Exchange to make people aware of the marketplace that exists, but you're also going to see the health carriers that are going to be participating in the exchange are encouraging people to sign up with their particular product.
Now, you said the exchange. Now, some people might not know what you mean by that, but this is a big part of Obamacare. The health insurance exchanges, they're done by state, and Washington State, unlike some others that might have been hoping that Obama got defeated, is kind of moving really ahead on this. But what is the health insurance exchange?
The exchange is going to be the place where people can go and make a determination as to how much money they make and how much of a subsidy by virtue of the income qualifying, how much financial assistance they will receive to help pay for their health insurance premiums. It'll also be where you'd be able to make a determination as to whether you might be eligible for the Medicaid program. So it's going to be a friendly place where you can go make a comparison between health insurance plans, see what they offer. There's going to be a uniformity, apples to apples, their price, the services that they offer, and make a real meaningful choice.
Now, someone I've heard compare it, they said it's like Expedia for healthcare plans. It's a place to go and compare the different offers. Is that, you think that's an accurate comparison?
It is a way of describing it so people would understand it. It'll be a lot more sophisticated than that. And you'll see that website will be up operational for people to make those determinations before October 1st of this year. So even though you buy it, but potentially starting after October 1st, it wouldn't be effective, however, for an individual until January 1st, 2014.
Now, let me see if I understand this correctly. If I don't have health insurance, this might be a place that I can go to see how much of a subsidy I could get and to also see the different plans that I could jump into and how much I would actually pay for it after the subsidy? Is that how it would work?
That's correct.
Right.
But even if you don't receive a subsidy, you may find this a friendly place to make a choice on health insurance plans for the individual and for the small group, a small employer making the decision here of where they're going to get their health insurance.
Now, I'm fortunate. I work for the University of Washington. I get a pretty good health care plan. How about people like me? Is there any reason for me to use the health care exchange if you're already covered by your employer?
Well, you're going to find that for people that have health insurance, and the vast majority of Washingtonians do, there's like 15% that are uninsured. But for those people with health insurance, many of them are going to make the decision to say, hey, I get it through my employer. My employer is already covering a significant part of the cost. I have no incentive here to go to the health insurance exchange. for people who are self-employed or work for a small employer or buying it for themselves, they're going to have the opportunity to go in and make that choice. And it's going to be a lot easier and much more friendly than what we've experienced in the past. You can really make comparisons between plans, decide how much out-of-pocket cost I want to have at various levels, and you'll be able to make a much more meaningful choice.
What's the Affordable Care Act going to mean to you? Give me a call at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW if you've got questions about it. Toll free, 800-289-5869, and write to us, conversation@kuow.org. My guest is the guy who should know. He's the insurance commissioner, Mike Kreidler. Give us a call. You mentioned small employers, and we talked about uninsured people maybe wanting to take a look at this health exchange when it gets started up. But how about someone who has a kind of maybe a small business that has a rudimentary health care plan? Will they kind of want their employees to not be directly insured by them, but go to the health care exchange? How will it affect small employers?
They will. And if employers with fewer than 50 employees, they have no requirement as an employer to offer health insurance. They don't today, they won't tomorrow. Yeah, they'd most likely want to encourage their employees to go that way. But for those small employers right now that do offer health insurance, there are subsidies that are out there for them right now in the way of tax rebates that are available to small employers who are offering health insurance and then qualify for that tax rebate. It's up to 35% right now. It's going to go to 50% starting in 2014.
Now, a lot of people who don't have insurance don't think they can afford insurance. When the healthcare exchange rolls in and they go to that website and they take a look at it, are they just going to get sticker shock and go, well, that's nice, but I can't pay for it?
Well, it depends. I mean, they'll go in and they'll enter the critical information relative to family income and how many people we're talking about for insurance, and then see if they'd qualify. For a family of four, up to $94,000 in income, they'd still be able to get some subsidy. It's on a sliding fee basis. Lower the amounts would obviously increase the amount of subsidy they receive. For an individual, it would be like $44,000, up to $44,000 as an individual would be eligible for a subsidy below that point. So a lot of people are going to be able to get financial assistance, which is going to make the difference for them on affordability.
Well, we've got Andrew on the phone. He's giving us a call from Capitol Hill today, and he's got a question about this. Andrew, thanks for giving us a call. What's your question for Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler?
So I have a question about eligibility. Does the government just look at income, or do they look at total assets?
They're going to look at income. That's going to be the qualifier, family income, as opposed to assets.
So if you're a millionaire, if you don't have income, you're going to qualify.
That's right. Now, if you're applying for the Medicaid program, that's a little bit different. They're going to look at assets as a part of that equation. But from the standpoint of financial assistance through the health insurance exchange, that's going to be one where they're going to be looking at family income.
Andrew, does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your phone call. 206-543-5869 is the telephone number if you've got a question for Mike Kreidler about health insurance reform, how it might affect you. Let's go to Oscar. Oscar is listening to us today in the University District. Oscar, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
What's your question for the insurance commissioner?
The question is, what Americans are supposed to do if they don't live in the United States? Do they have to buy insurance anyway?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer right off the top of my head. One is that there is a penalty for not having it as an individual. What would happen to an expatriate that's living someplace else but still an American? I don't know the answer right off the top of my head.
David Hyde, producer, this is your assignment. Can you find the answer to that question in the next 15 minutes? The question that Oscar has is, if you're an American citizen but you don't live here, are you going to have health insurance? Oscar, we'll see if we can find that answer for you, and if we can't find it, we'll get the insurance commissioner's office to find it, and we'll put it up on our website. Thanks a lot for your phone call. So, stumped. The insurance commissioner stumped. Stump the insurance commissioner. 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Now, I understand another of the big changes that's taking place is you mentioned Medicaid, and for people who aren't familiar with it, this is the federal program for low-income people to help them get some kind of insurance. How will that change in this coming year?
Well, the question before the legislature is are they going to wind up expanding the Medicaid program to cover single adults? That's the single biggest group right now that has been outside the Medicaid program. If you're a senior that's in a nursing home, you get many, two-thirds of those people are going to be on the Medicaid program along with Medicare. If you're a woman with children, you're going to wind up frequently being an income qualify on the Medicaid program. In fact, almost half of the children that are born in the state of Washington right now are actually born through the Medicaid program. But now it's single adults, and that's a huge number of them are uninsured right now, and that's going to be the expansion of seeing if they income qualify.
And, of course, the Medicaid program funded by the federal government and by the state government, right?
That's correct, except in this expansion right now as a part of the Affordable Care Act, it's going to be paid for at 100% by the federal government as opposed to a 50-50 match that we have in the regular Medicaid program that exists currently.
So why wouldn't the legislature approve it for single adults if they don't have to pay for it?
I think there's two reasons. I think one is by 2020, it drops to 90% funded by the federal government, 10% picked up by the state. And so after a few years, 3 years where it's going to be 100%, then it starts to ratchet down to 90% by 2020. The other part is that there's the argument that as we have the Medicaid program out there, you're going to where it's 100% federal funds, that for the existing program for women and children, which is like 50-50 match, that you're going to get a number of people that will wind up signing up for health insurance for the Medicaid program in those programs where we get a lower match. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the argument.
Yeah.
I think it's really a phony argument. I think it makes a lot of sense to go out and make sure that you get more people insured and making sure they have health insurance coverage. But the federal government's going to do 100% for the first 3 years. And even at 90%, the cross benefits of having the state covered that or expanding its coverage like that comes back to the taxpayers in other ways. So I'm not sure that 10% wouldn't, we're still making money effectively over what we would have been exposed to for current expenditures.
We're talking about what is officially the Affordable Care Act. The president and even and his critics call it Obamacare. It's rolling in. It's making big changes in our health insurance all throughout the country. And some of those changes are taking place this year. We're talking about them with the insurance commissioner, Mike Kreidler, for Washington State, and welcoming your phone calls at 206-543-5869. Let's go to Sven, who's listening to us in Mason Lake. Sven, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, I'm going to be retiring this summer, and I can self-purchase my insurance through the trust, an employer and union trust. And so I'm just wondering if I should just continue with that, and because it is subsidized, and my premium would be approximately $900 a month for me and my wife, or if I should check into this pool thing when I retire.
The exchanges, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it would be worth your time to make a comparison and see what your out-of-pocket expenses is, the level of coverage that you have through the union trust as to whether you want to go to the health insurance exchange until age 65 and Medicare eligibility. That kind of comparison is something that's going to be a lot friendlier and easier for you to do right now from the standpoint of making comparisons.
And plus, he couldn't start the health exchange coverage until when?
Starting the effective date for health insurance coverage through the exchange will be January 1st, 2014.
So that's not going to be till the beginning of next year, Sven. So I suppose he could sign up for his union one if that's the gap and then take a look at the exchange after the first.
Absolutely.
Sven, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Can I ask one more question?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
Underneath with this health care reform thing, Do payments for health insurance become tax deductible?
I think there are some changes. That's something that we obviously, as a federal government IRS and Internal Revenue Service requirement, as opposed to something that we have any administrative control over. But I think there have been or are some changes that take place that are related to that. But I don't know specifically what they are relative to deductibility.
Sven, thanks a lot for your phone call. You might want to check with someone who works with taxes a little bit more to find out what that impact might be. David Hyde found the answer. Americans living overseas in the Affordable Care Act, the answer is Americans living abroad are for at least 1 year exempt from those requirements. And there is a requirement that you have health insurance under this plan, right?
That's correct. And you will face a financial penalty. I think one of the criticisms of the Affordable Care Act can be that the penalty is so low that some people will make a decision not to have health insurance and pay the penalty instead, and effectively something that will happen through their taxes. I think you really need to encourage people to get coverage so you get much closer to 100%. We've got over a million people uninsured in the state of Washington today. The Affordable Care Act probably is going to pick up something close to 80% of them, so some 800,000 people. But we're still going to be far short of getting to that 100%. If those people aren't insured, they can cost a shift to the rest of us. It only increases the overall cost to us when people don't have health insurance. It's a personal responsibility thing.
What is the penalty? A young person thinks they're invulnerable. It comes and goes. How much are they going to have to pay if they decide they don't want to get health insurance?
$95.
$95. Wow. And it sounds like you're implying that's maybe not high enough.
it needs to be more. In fact, I think that's what they found in Massachusetts, that they needed to have it higher in order to try to get people to make the right choice. But politically, when it was being passed in 2010, the more the penalty, the harder it was to get the votes. So as a consequence, they dumbed down the number, the financial penalty that was applied to it.
And that's a federal number, right? That has nothing to do with your office. They set it at $95.
That's correct. Now, a state could go higher, but I don't know how we do the enforceability in the state of Washington. Since we don't have a state income tax, I'm not exactly sure. But the federal number is $95.
Now, as I mentioned,
but it goes up over the next few years.
The penalty.
The penalty does. Mm-hmm. But I think $300-$400 in a few years. But it's still not a strong incentive for people to get in. I think that's one of the criticisms of the Affordable Care Act, that they needed more of a penalty so you really made sure people exercised financial responsibility here and had insurance coverage. And the second is we didn't do enough in the act itself to control the healthcare spending. And that's going to be something that's going to take a lot of energy and is critical for success.
We're just about out of time, Mike Kreidler. But what is the one aspect of this rolling in that keeps you up at night that you're worried about? You seem like a pretty relaxed guy. You probably don't stay up at night about it. But what's going to be the toughest thing to get this to happen and work?
I wish that was true, that I didn't have reasons to stay awake. But right now we have to provide guidance to all of the health insurance plans that in the state of Washington, provide that information to them by the middle of March. Then all of those health insurers that are going to be operating within the health insurance exchange have to submit their plans to us. We're going to have to go through all of those plans to make sure that they have the essential health benefits all covered, make sure that they're not overcharging people. We have to do that and approve those plans so that by the end of July, we have to be done with that process. So between starting in mid-March to the end of July, we have to do all of those plans, and they'll literally be probably a couple hundred plans that we're going to have to wind up approving in that very short period of time.
We've just scratched the surface. A lot of questions here. You can go to the website of the Washington Insurance Commissioner. There's a lot of information there about how the Affordable Health Care Act will affect you, and I'm sure we'll get Mike Kreidler back again. Mike Kreidler is the State Insurance Commissioner. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Russ, as always.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.